All right, then. This is going to be a really good hour. Third hour, straight ahead. I am Jim Rome. I am live in Southern California. You want to get done what you need to get done, you want to do it right now. 1-800-636-8686. This particular program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. More of those telephone calls coming up. But first things first, we are joined by a safety for the Cleveland Browns. He is a Super Bowl champion. He is entering his 10th NFL season. He signed with Cleveland in April. He was an All-American at Georgia Tech. He was the 71st pick overall back in 2010. And the Browns open up against Tennessee on September 8th, right around the corner, 1 p.m. It is a CBS game. Morgan Burnett is my guest. Morgan, always good to have you on the show. How are you?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
Good, good. Listen, take me back to April, if you don't mind. You were a free agent. There were a number of places where you could have gone, but you signed with Cleveland pretty quickly. What was it about the Browns and that opportunity that had you so excited?
Of course, it was just familiar faces, you know, that I was used to working with in Green Bay. But just, you know, you just see all the talent that they have, and you knew the, you know, the excitement coming around, and just to have that opportunity to sign a guy like myself going into my 10th year, man, I was very excited about it. And like I said, it was a smooth transition for me, especially being able to have worked with some of the guys that's here back when I was in Green Bay. So it just felt like family, felt like home.
Morgan Burnett joining us. You know, one of the guys you mentioned, a face that you knew from Green Bay, GM John Dorsey. And he was with the Packers back in 2010 when they drafted you out of Georgia Tech. So what's it like to reunite with him, and what do you make of the roster that he has assembled in Cleveland?
I mean, it's very exciting. Like you said, you know, he's part of the reason why I got in the league. You know, they took a chance on a kid out of Georgia Tech. And, you know, I'm thankful that everything worked out for me for my career and going into my 10th year. So, like I said, I'm excited. You know, I'm just thankful to get the opportunity. And just coming into the locker room, you know, those guys welcome me with open arms. And just the players in the locker room, they have a great camaraderie. It's a lot of fun on the practice field, the high level of competition. So, you know, we're all about making each other better, and that's what I look forward to.
Morgan Burnett joining us. He's now a member of the Browns. You know, it seems like from the outside, there's a ton of potential with the Browns, but obviously you know a lot better than me. When you look around and you see the guys at the facility that you see, does it strike you as a team that can not only compete for a playoff spot, but maybe make some noise once it gets there?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you coming in, you got to have that spirit and that atmosphere. And I mean, if you don't have that mentality, then you're in the wrong business. So, walking in every day, you just feel that energy, just the energy in the locker room, the way the guys gel together, but also the way the guys demand and compete with one another. So I think that's the most important thing, just the things that go on the practice field, the way the guys compete. You know, right now it's really early. I'm pretty sure all 32 teams have the same mentality right now, but our main focus is just keep having that arrow, keep going up, and not try to get ahead of ourselves and taking it one day at a time.
Now, your new head coach, Freddie Kitchens, called you, quote, the definition of a leader, end quote. And leadership is something you and I have talked about a lot over the years. You know, it seems to me that's really high praise coming from a head coach for a guy coming in like yourself, and especially in a room with so many alphas. What's that mean to you to hear your head coach speak of you like that? And then how do you go about trying to apply that leadership to a new situation?
Oh, that really means a lot. You know, you appreciate that, and that's something that you don't take lightly. Like you said, that's a great compliment for someone to acknowledge someone as a leader. But my main thing is just, I was always taught from my dad, just, you know, stay true to yourself, you know, be who you are, and just lead the way that I know how to lead, and not try to be someone else or not try to compare myself to anyone else, but just be Morgan Burnett and try to help out the best way I can in any way that I can for this football team.
Morgan Burnett is joining us. Now, I've had Kitchens on this show. Man, I could not be more impressed with him. What are your early impressions of the coach and the rest of his coaching staff?
Oh, man, it's awesome. You can tell that, you know, they're really players' coach, and they're going to do anything that's needed from a coach's standpoint to help and provide us players with the tools we need to go out and be successful. I mean, those guys are very knowledgeable of the game. And like I said, they make it a fun atmosphere to where you enjoy coming in to work, but you know you're going to come in, you know that you're going to get better, and you know that you're going to come in ready to compete. And that's what you respect out of our coaches here.
You know, looking defensively, well, you got talent on both sides of the ball, of course. And on defense, you're arriving this offseason with guys like Olivier Vernon, Sheldon Richardson. How valuable, then, is it to have that kind of experience? And then what kinds of things are you looking to teach some of the younger guys?
I mean, that's very valuable. Like you said, those guys have a long resume for themselves, and they bring their leadership aspect. And that's the great thing I like about this team. It's not just one guy you're depending on for leadership. You got leaders all over the roster, so that's very exciting. And they bring a lot to the table. And then for young guys, I just try to tell guys, around this time is all about just you. You focus on your game, not really worry about your opponents, not worry about how's the season going to play out. Just really focus on your game, your technique, and find the ways to get better. And also getting those mental reps from just standing on the side watching vets and guys in front of you.
Morgan Burnett talking like the vet that he is. Now, you're part of a defense that's got a lot of talent, but when you look at that offense and you look at a group that's got Baker Mayfield, a quarterback, and then you've got some weapons which include Odell Beckham Jr. and Jarvis Landry, as a safety, when you see that, how scary is it?
As a defensive player, I don't think too many guys want to call it scary, but you know that's a lot of talent, a lot of playmaking ability on that side. And for us, you know, we're just glad that we're on the same team, because we know those guys are going to prepare us on the defensive side by bringing high competition, high energy, and getting us ready and making us better for the upcoming regular season.
Now, going to Cleveland is also a reunion for you with secondary coach Joe Witt Jr., who you worked with in Green Bay. That's another one of those guys you knew before. What was he like to work with and play for?
Oh, no, he was a lot of fun, because in Green Bay it was Joe Witt and Darren Perry, and those guys have a lot of knowledge about the game, very smart coaches, very great teachers, and those type of guys that with the energy that they bring, you as a player don't want to let them down, because you know they're going to have your back 100%, and you want to go out there and prove those guys right. So, I mean, it's a lot of fun to work for a guy like Joe Witt, and we're looking forward to this season.
Morgan Burnett joining me for another moment or two. Now, you're a proud member of the Georgia Tech family. We talked about that. When I was in Atlanta for the Super Bowl, I had a chance to sit down with the new head coach there, Jeff Collins. I was really impressed with him, but I'm not sure what was more impressive, his love of football or his love of Waffle House. Where do you come out on Waffle House?
Yeah, especially if you're down in Atlanta, Waffle House is definitely a staple. Especially going there and order your All-Star special at any time of the day, whether you like breakfast in the morning, at lunch, or for dinner. Waffle House is the place to go.
There you go. Now, my man, Jeff Collins, he had a lot of energy. I really liked his vibe. What's your sense of the vibe with him in that program right now? Is he the right guy at the right time?
Oh, he's definitely the right guy. Like you said, I love his energy. I love the way he's connecting just with the culture in Atlanta, with the whole 404 movement, with the whole Waffle House movement. I mean, he has the guys and gadgets of the screen. We had Young Jeezy at practice. I mean, the energy is great. I went out to the spring game, and the crowd, the turnout was big. We had a lot of former players back. And, man, the hype is real over at Georgia Tech, and we're all excited.
So one last thought. When you talk about the former players, Collins, he actually has a long history with Georgia Tech. It includes playing a role in helping to assemble that famous recruiting class, which included you, Jonathan Dwyer, and Derek Morgan. What do you remember about him from back then?
Yeah, just the same. This is the same type of energy he brings now, but he brings it, and he brings that family-oriented atmosphere to the program. And that's what I remember about just getting recruited by Georgia Tech. And that's one of the main reasons why I signed to Georgia Tech. And just the same guys that I came in with, we still have that tight bond. And now with Jeff Collins there, I'm talking about, it's an open door policy. I mean, you literally can just walk up to campus and walk right in his office, and it's an open door. And that's what you appreciate. And us being able to been in the league and seeing things throughout the league, we're able to go back and spread that knowledge to the guys that's coming up now.
That's great for them, too. I've already said they are America's team. We'll see how it plays out this year. The Browns and all eyes on them. We're joined by a Super Bowl champion. He's entering his 10th season and a new opportunity with the Browns. Morgan Burnett, my guest. Morgan, always good to have you on the show, no matter where you are. Thanks for joining us. Good luck. Hope we can do it again soon.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Great talking to you. I'm telling you, you look at this, the talent that they have assembled on both sides of the ball. Defensively, you add Sheldon Richardson, Olivier Vernon, to Myles Garrett. You're going to get some pressure on the quarterback now. That may have been an issue last season. That is not going to be an issue this coming season. And you add a guy like that to your locker room. Morgan Burnett, he's already got a Super Bowl ring. And just to hear him talk about the game, you can imagine the impact he'll have on some of the younger guys. They are loaded. Loaded. I cannot wait to see these guys. 1-800-636-8686. All right. Nice to see the call screen load up. See what we got here. I could go to Parody Larry. Hawk, why do you seem so enthused by that? All right. Rare is the day that Parody Larry shows up on the call screen. Well, that's not rare as the day. That's like every day. Rare is the day that he shows up on the call screen and Hawk's all giddy and is saying, oh, dude, take it. You're going to like that call. Take it. Generally, when Hawk thinks that I'm going to like something, what that means is he likes it and I hate it. But he is the EP, so let's find out. Let's go to Parody Larry. He's in the Bay Area. Lawrence, you literally cut the line right to the front, Larry. What's up?
That's unbelievable. Hey, Jim, listen, I know personal appearance smack is not Joe fodder, but it seems your show has been dominated for the last week by a certain cholesterol-y challenged clone in Studio City. So, Mr. Beaks, this one's for you. Oh, I'm going to hit the buffet tonight. Come on, I promise I won't bite. Then I'll scope from the hot tub all night. Fat bottom Beaks, you make that fat alarm go off. War Beaks.
Ah. That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
No, you gotta run that back. I think that we did him wrong. I would not have run him for that. No, I think you got to give this guy, you got to put some respect on that. So when he went to his chorus and got to Fat Bottom Beaks, you should have hit the alarm like he asked for it. Now, and stop the alarm and let's play that thing back and do it the right way. Parody Larry, I never thought that I would say this, but I think we may owe you an apology. I mean, I'm not going to bring it back. You can't finish it. It is what it is. You got rung up by Alvin, but if we had to do it again, and if I had to spin the clock backwards, I would do it like this. Yo, Larry, what's up? Good to have you on.
Oh, I'm going to hit the buffet tonight. Come on, I promise I won't bite. Then I'll scope from the hot tub all night. Fat bottom Beaks, you make that fat alarm go off.
That's how that should have gone. And that's not a fat alarm. That is...
Did I get fat? Are you? Is anybody not fat?
That is not a fat alarm. That is the obesity achievement announcement device. We don't shame people on this program. We celebrate everybody on this program. Now, back in the day, that was a fat alarm. But that's no longer appropriate. That is the obesity achievement device. Symphonic.
You fat ass.
All right, Larry, thank you very much. Segment sponsored by Grasshopper. I'm sure they're thrilled with that segment. The virtual phone system for small business. Separate business from personal and feel more professional in your customer interactions with the Grasshopper business phone solution. Better small business communication starts with Grasshopper. Try it for free at grasshopper.com. He's Batman.
I'm Batman.
He's down to two shows and 45 minutes. Keith Arnold, his final day is Friday. Stucknut. Stucknut's gotten a lot of attention this week because he dropped the smack off odds. So Stucknut thinks, my man Steve-O, because he puts odds on it, he can tweet things like this. Hit Lawrence with a golden ticket. This is pretty amazing. All right, so I would say that that's just Stucknut, but I'm looking at TweetDeck right now. I have never seen, well, other than the day he got on the set at Super Bowl and got run, I have never seen TweetDeck, the JTP, and you clones as happy with Lawrence as you are right now. It's not just Stucknut. I don't know. I don't want to get caught up in this, but part of me is just thinking about it. Would he make the smack off better? Jamie in Green Bay tweets, I'm ashamed to admit, Larry's fat bottom beaks made me laugh out loud. Alvin, I hate to say it.
Laugh out loud.
I don't want to chase the mob, but that was my reaction too. That was actually pretty funny. Why did you run him? Alvin says, dude, it's a reflex. I always run him. That's fair. That is fair, but you got to keep an open mind. You got to admit. Normally, I wonder what took so long, but that time I had to ask, man, why did you do that? That was pretty funny. There are so many things about that are so amazing. One, that Hawk thought something was a good idea, and it was. Two, that Parody Larry did a parody that didn't suck. And three, that Alvin's radar was off. None of those three things ever happen, much less all of those three things. Even Beaks is in. Beaks, the guy that Larry was singing about, tweets, classic Larry, I'm dead. Fire emoji, fire emoji, fire emoji. Good job, Nathan. Man, Larry with a golden ticket. Is that a good idea? I'll think about it during the break. When we come back, let me talk about that Smack Off watch party. I love that. An update on Smack Off 25. Guys, it's never a good look when you untuck a long, bulky shirt like Beaks. Probably trying to cover up the gut. It's not going to work. Now, you may think that it makes you look casual, but more than likely, you end up looking like a slob. This is why Untuck It makes shirts that are specifically designed to be worn untucked. You can't just untuck a shirt. These shirts are made to be worn that way. It's a casual shirt. It's not too long. It's not too short. It's just right. Shirts that are designed so well that GQ calls them, quote, perfection. Untuck It shirts are a go-to for any occasion, from casual to dressy. Not only do they look good, they feel amazing. Impeccable craftsmanship and attention to detail make Untuck It the only choice for the untucked man. More than 50 sizing options, so every guy can find the perfect shirt. Log on to untuckit.com. Check out all their new arrivals. Use the promo code ROME20. Get 20% off your entire first-time purchase. You can also visit Untuck It in one of their over 50 retail locations across the country. Stop hiding your shirt with your pants with your shirt. Untuckit.com. Your solution to perfecting casual. Use the promo code ROME20. Get 20% off. Untuckit.com.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
This guy's got it. Riddy Bad Luck 13 says, give Larry a golden ticket, Jim. Two reasons. One, everyone loves a train wreck. Two, everyone loves hearing the choppa. It's a win-win. That's the best argument. Both those things are true. One of the best parts of launching the Jim Rome podcast, my side hustle, back in September of 2017, was the kind of creative license it gives me to try different things and talk to different people that you normally would not hear in the jungle. So I've taken advantage of that. we've had guests, and some of my best podcasts or some of my favorite guests have had nothing to do with anything we talk about on this show. Non-sports related or kind of on the fringe as it relates to sports. But things that I might not do on this show, like Molly Bloom was awesome. Maury Povich was awesome. David Goggins was incredible. My man Keegan-Michael Key, obviously, that goes without saying. Harvey Levin, Adam Carolla. You know, these are all people that may or may not make it on this show, but made it on the podcast. I would add to that list my guest for episode 81, Bill Hader. Bill, of course, is an actor and a comedian that you know from his 8-year run on SNL, his leading role in the movie Trainwreck, where he starred alongside LeBron James. Arguably, his biggest project to date, though, is the HBO show, which he created, called Barry. He travels, or he plays the title hitman who travels to Los Angeles to kill somebody, but accidentally stumbles into an acting class that he never leaves. So the show follows Barry's double life as a serial killer who unsuccessfully tries to leave that past or that life behind him while acclimating to a new social environment. Really funny show, but really dark. Extremely dark. So Bill came on the podcast and I asked him, how do you come up with a character like that? And then what's it like to write, direct, and star in the show?
Well, Alec Berg and I came up with it. He's the co-creator, and he works on Silicon Valley and Curb Your Enthusiasm, and he was a writer on Seinfeld forever, and he's amazing. And we just, I don't know, we neither of us are very violent people, but I understood the idea of wanting a community, which is what the guy wants, and wanting to feel like kind of accepted. And I think his work has made him kind of isolated from humanity, so he's trying to find a way in. And then playing Barry, to be honest, because I'm, you know, producing and writing and directing, and the acting is kind of the last thing I think about. It's kind of, you know, like, oh, right, I got to get on my mark and be in the scene. In a weird way, that kind of helps because you're just running on instinct. I think when I have too much time on my hands, I kind of over-prepare it maybe, or I think about it too much in my head at least. It's not as spontaneous or real.
Dude, my man's good. That was really interesting. With all those things that he's got going on, he said acting is like the last thing on my mind. When normally that's all you think about, that's all you do. But he's got all the other things that he's got to get done. One of the other stars on that show is one of my all-time favorite people. You know, I've used the term jungle legend. This guy truly is a jungle legend. Henry Winkler, the Fonz. Bill Hader says that Henry Winkler is just as good of a guy as we all think and know him to be.
He's the nicest guy in the world. And, you know, after every episode, he texts me a nice, sweet text saying, like, oh, man, it was just, do you see what you did? Like, that was amazing. And this performance by this person. And it doesn't matter who the actor is, even if it's a young day player and it's their first job, he'll go over and go, I love that thing you just did where you came in and you said, you know, and they'll have like two lines. He'll go, those parts are so hard, the two-line parts, and you just made that work. And blah, blah, you know, he's so sweet. He's just like all love all the time. It's very sweet.
So good. Henry Winkler, as some of you know, does have history on this show. This is why I always rave about Henry Winkler. And by some history, I mean like amazing history. He's even won a Clone's Choice Award. In fact, last year, right before Smack Off 24, the Fonz made an appearance in The Jungle Guest starring in an RSVP video that Leff in Laguna put together a few days before the main event. Not the main event, an RSVP video prior to. And I showed it on TV last year, but it was so good and so rich that it's absolutely worth a reset right here and right now.
Hey Leff, Henry Winkler here. Just want to touch base before Smack Off 24. How great is it that it's on TV this year? So, I'm heading off to Idaho to catch some trout, catch and release, always put them back. I've written down July 20th and I'm storming the studio. And I'm bringing with me my award.
Holy bleep. He held up the Rome bobblehead. The Clone's Choice Award. One of the best parts of that story, too, was when he won that thing, he called after the fact and said, hey, listen, do I not get anything for this? And we're like, Fonz, We don't even know what to say. We're still in awe that you even participated. He said it would just be nice to have something. It'd be really neat to commemorate that big win. I've won a lot of things, but this means a lot to me. And he was serious. So we gave him, we created and gave him a Jim Rome bobblehead, and he kept it. He had that thing still and held it up for the camera. Henry freaking Winkler, if you need him, hanging out at his house, holding up his Clone's Choice Award and taking time out of his day to shoot an RSVP call video for Lef. It's amazing. You can see why everybody, myself and Bill Hader included, love the Fonz. Back to Bill Hader for a minute in that pod. I mentioned he had a great run on SNL, where everybody remembers him for his legendary characters, like Stefan, his timeless impressions, like Keith Morrison. But a lot of people do not understand how tough that was, the battle that he had internally. Not because he didn't love being on Saturday Night Live, but because there was pressure and there was a lot of anxiety throughout the entire process.
All of it was really hard. I mean, I had pretty bad anxiety pretty much the entire time I was there. Just, you know, the live aspect of it. It really was just the live aspect of it was really nerve-wracking for me, and it was always something that I was trying to work through. But the first couple of years were really hard because you just never know if you're going to be fired or not. And then Lorne Michaels told me, like, after my fourth season, hey, you know, you can work here as long as you want. I think he said that to get me to calm down, and I did to a degree, but I still, on the live shows, was very, very nervous.
You know, did you ultimately work through that, get beyond that, or frankly, did it only kind of improve when you moved on to other stuff?
I mean, it kind of, it was just a live aspect. It was just like, once the show got going, I kind of calmed down a little bit, but man, it was pretty hard. But no, it never really went away. No, it was always a battle. And then I started laughing a lot in sketches, I think, towards the end, because I was just so nervous. And I'm just a soft touch because I'm so keyed up that I laugh easily.
God, that is so real. That is so candid. That is so honest. And his inclination to laugh when he's nervous is not just exclusive or generic or part and parcel for his time on SNL. In the podcast, we also talk about a starring role in the upcoming horror flick, It Chapter 2, and how much he struggled not to laugh while filming horror scenes, which is hilarious. I'll save that for you to find in the pod. One more thing I want to play back today on the radio program is his love for his hometown OKC Thunder. Bill was born in Tulsa, but it took an infection and some prescription drugs to get him into the team finally.
I was on prednisone, and I became like rabid OKC Thunder fan. Like, bought tickets, even though I lived in LA, and like bought all this stuff. Like, just all my energy went into OKC Thunder. And then it was like, I went off prednisone, and I was like, I can't go to Chesapeake Arena. It's in Oklahoma City. When would I go there? I don't have a private plane. I could fly to Oklahoma City on the weekend. Like, what am I doing? This is insane. This season was tough. My dad and I called each other immediately after that last game, and we both were like, say what you will, but that Damian Lillard shot was pretty insane.
You mean the one that he made from the parking lot to knock you guys out?
Yeah,
you mean that
logo,
shot?
Yeah, the ones he's been making all game. And then I was watching it, just yelling at Paul George. I'm like, what are you doing? Get up on it.
Great.
I was like, get in his face. I mean, yeah, it's like impossible to guard that. I disagree with Paul George. I think that was a very good shot because he had made that shot. Like, he had made like five of them before he shot that one. His name's logo. He took his shot that he's named after, essentially. What are you talking about?
Come on, man. Bill Hader. What a great conversation that was. What a great take that was. That's a fan of the Thunder disagreeing with Paul George's horrible take that Damian Lillard's half-court shot was a bad shot. Couldn't agree more with Bill Hader and could not agree less with PG-13 on that one. There are 25 more minutes of Bill Hader on this week's podcast, Ep 81. Check it out right now, iTunes, Google Podcast, Apple Podcasts, and JimRome.com. So, gigantic tip of the hat to him, and a smaller tip of the hat to It's Writ! It's Writ! Garrett Writ booked that. It's Writ! Good job, GR. It's a good book. Good turnaround. That's the thing with the side hustle. You get different kinds of conversations. Already next week is booked. Roger Lodge in studio for Ep 82. And we go way back with it. We go old school with it. Roger Lodge talking about what it was like to host the jungle back in the day. When we come back, I might get to that smack-off watch party. Might talk a little NHL on the way out the door. May talk about Vladimir Guerrero Jr. jumping ship a couple of times yesterday. That's two for him. Or we'll see. If your calls can get me to the top of the hour, I'd give you that if you're good enough. But first things first, I do owe you a belated, wow, really late sports update. Here it is. Time for the ATP. It is a Wednesday. Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Jim, when you break in a new member of the XR4TI, is there a show manual that they must study? Does it include a link to Stucknut for historical references? Bacon in South Detroit. Bacon. No, actually, we have nothing like that. We probably should. I'd love to have a notebook to drop on the new guys, especially since guys are only staying like 30 days at a time now. I probably should compile a notebook. Now, you know what we try and do? We try and find people that you never know, right? You never know where I'm going to find these people. I found people from the strangest places, and then I found guys that you would expect that would end up here that are already in the business. I try to find people that have some kind of understanding of the program because this show is unlike any other show. There's a culture to the program. There's a legacy to the program. There's a history to the program. If I take somebody who's never heard of the show or doesn't know the show and expect them to work on the show, it's not going to go very well. So if you've got a background in the business, that may or may not be important. Honestly, that may or may not be important, but it would certainly help if you knew a little something about the program. Like Hawk was in the business and knew the show and listened to the show for years. That benefited him. Kyle Brandt is an example. Is one of my favorite stories. Kyle Brandt was not in the business at all. And I found Kyle Brandt because I called Ross Tucker. And Ross Tucker was ending his NFL career. And I said, Ross, I think your background is really interesting. I'm looking to add to my staff. Can I have a conversation with you about this? He said, Jim, I'm already hooked up, but a guy that you might like is Kyle Brandt, a friend of mine. We played college football together. I interviewed Kyle Brandt, and he says to me, you're not going to like my background at all. And I said, I actually love your background. And he had never done any kind of radio work at all. So you never know. But he knew the show. He was in Los Angeles. He had a ball. So to answer the question, we do not have a manual that I make them study. There is not a test that they have to pass. But if you're smart, you've got a unique point of view, you've got some grind, you can put in the time, you've got a good shot. And with Chael Jr. leaving on Friday, there is an open spot here. We are looking to fill that spot. That is not an easy chair to fill. And in fact, if I can't find the right person, the chair remains vacant. He's Batman. Friday is his last day. So we are looking. We are looking and we are talking to folks right now. Let's go to SoCal. This guy seems like he's changing up. Like he wants a golden ticket. He's not looking to get run. He's looking to get in the big dance. Jeff in SoCal. What's going on, Jeff?
Rome, you hit the nail on the head with the hammer, my dude. Hey, what a truly iconic call by Nooch yesterday. Apparently my comment about Brad infringed on an obscure reference left dropped in 2015. Nooch, you're coming very close to Stephen H. Towns' brand, my dude. What's next? You going to start a fan site called StuckNooch.com? I'm not sure if Nooch was genuinely mad about the skinny smack or if he was just hangry, Rome. I mean, by the time you went to him, he was probably dehydrated and exhausted from having to hold the phone to his ear for 30 minutes. Hey, Nooch, is today recovery day, buddy? Jim, I am sad I missed him while he was out here, though. Him and Beaks cruising around Laguna Beach like the modern-day Chris Farley and David Spade. I bet that was a sight to see. Anyways, Jim, quick poll question. Who's more exhausting, New York fans reacting to the NBA lottery or Sonia Curry performing for the camera every time one of her sons did something last night? And finally, Jim, I do want you to know I'm coming for a golden ticket. The 25th Smack Off deserves better. than the group of kooks who currently hold them. I mean, the biggest beef going into the Smack-Off right now is Rick in Buffalo versus fictional betting odds on a website by a guy with a hobby and a little bit too much free time. If you ask me, Jim, Rick should be the favorite. My only concern is if he wins that 5K, he would nearly double his yearly salary, and that kind of money can be dangerous. Jim, I'm like the nerdy chick in every 80s movie, so let me take off my thick framed glasses, let my hair down, so you can see I'm the smoke show you're in love with the entire time. I'm right here, buddy. In the words of John Manziel, hurry up and draft me, Romy. Let's rack this smack off together. Outro.
Rack him. Jeff in SoCal. Was that so hard, Jeff? Was that so hard? You spent your entire life and jungle career getting run. And then you finally kind of grow up and mature and evolve and decide, you know, I think I want that $5,000. I think I want that $5,000, and I think I want to win the most important event ever. Rock him. Bro, you are on the watch list. You are on the watch list. That did not. You take Johnny in Detroit's place. He got ripped off the watch list yesterday. That does not put you in, but you got my attention. Even if that is the beef that nobody asked for. Jeff and SoCal and Nooch. The beef that nobody wants. The beef that nobody asked for. Nooch. I just said it's the beef that nobody asked for. Don't bother responding. You don't need to. Jeff and SoCal. Can you imagine if that guy somehow got in and did damage? If that guy somehow got in and hit the board? Could that guy get in and win? I don't know. Before you say never, understand that Silk has won the event. And I love Bra, but nobody ever thought he'd win. Nobody ever went into any smack off thinking, oh man, you know who I got? The wise guys, the sharps got Bra. But he did win. He did win. Huge call is coming up momentarily. Meant to get to the Smack Off watch party. I was not able to do that. One of the best parts, let me just preview it and I'll hit it tomorrow. One of the best parts about partnering up with CBS Sports Network to simulcast the jungle has been getting the Smack Off on TV. We did that for the first time. So the Smack Off is going to turn 25 this year, but it's only going to be the second time that you can actually watch it on the screen. And if you can watch it on the screen, that means you can all congregate and watch it together. And there is a big time party here in Southern California, which is taking form. I want to make sure I give that thing its proper respect, and I will hit that tomorrow. Let's get to a huge call. Today, it is brought to you by Cabo. Remote control is taking over your living room. Then get Control Center by Cabo, the one universal remote that manages all of your content. Shop right now. Save $10 on the Control Center starting pack bundle with a one-year service plan with the promo code ROME. Go to CAAVO.com.
That's unbelievable. Hey, Jim, listen, I know personal appearance smack is not show fodder, but it seems your show has been dominated for the last week by a certain cholesterol-y challenged clone in Studio City. So, Mr. Beaks, this one's for you. Oh, I'm going to hit the buffet tonight. Come on, I promise I won't bite. Then I'll scope from the hot tub all night. Fat bottom Beaks, you make that fat alarm go off.
Strong as horse ready.
PHX, Nola Girl, Tracy's in. She tweets, you think it's going to be hard to replace Keith Arnold? How difficult is it to print emails and put them on your desk without knocking their head on the camera? Oh, wait. Even Adam Hawk can't do that. Hey, Trace. What's up, girlfriend? She's good. She knows. We are officially done on a Wednesday. My thanks to Morgan Burnett, Pierre Maguire, Jason Terry. Got a watch lister, but did not give away a golden ticket today. Maybe tomorrow. My thanks to the XR4TI. Thank you for listening. Have a great day, and I will see you tomorrow.